This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to this afternoon Q&A program live from our studios, right from 2 to 4 p.m. this afternoon and Monday nights as well. That's a two-hour program, and you'll find in the mornings as well the Q&A. Well, Mufti Saab, our very next question is pertaining to Salatul Tasbih. What is the benefit and what is the Salatul Tasbih?
Tasbih is that Salat that Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his uncle Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and said, "O uncle, chacha, paternal uncle, read and perform the Salat daily. If you cannot, then perform it, you know, once a week, once a month, once a year, once in a lifetime." So, mashallah, you read Surah Fatiha, you read a surah and a surah, and then whilst you are standing, then you read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allah Akbar 15 times. Every posture after that 10 times, then you will find it 75 times per rakat, per unit, and it's a 4 rakat salat, so 300 times, and your sins will be forgiven. Today, people who don't understand hadith, they just say, no, this hadith is weak and must be rejected. I have by me At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, which is authenticated by Sheikh Albani rahimahullah. In day he has written this hadith is sahih or hasan, and meaning is a good hadith. So therefore, to say that it is something that is alien or foreign to Islam, we reject that totally. We encourage this. If you study the Salaf Sali, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah and them, the pious, great, great scholars of the past, they used to read it daily. So very, very good to do so. Second one is this. Obviously, for us, it's very difficult. So once a week, once a month, once a year, you know what we call auspicious nights. For example, 15 Shaban, the days, the nights during Ramadan. So on occasions like that, we read it. Or Jumu'ah, Friday. So excellent. You get great, great reward in doing so.
Mufti Saab, a person is owing me money. He is in need and zakatable. Can I tell him to keep the borrowed money as zakat?
Here we need to understand two separate questions. I gave ABC person 1,000 rand, $1,000, whatever amount, and I gave it to him as a loan. Thereafter, unforeseen circumstances, that person XYZ ABC could not pay me back. He's a Muslim. I say, never mind, keep it as zakat. My zakat is not discharged. The zakat is not valid. Because when I gave it to him as a loan. There was no intention at all on my behalf that it is zakat. That is first scenario. Second scenario is this. I gave it to him, he's a Muslim, and I know I made some investigation that he's down and out. You know, he really struggling. So he said he needs 1,000 rand, 2,000, 5,000, whatever it is. So I gave it to him, for example. And now in my heart, already at that time, I made intention of zakat. But I told him it's a loan. Then after 2 months, 6 months, 1 year, he brought the money back. I told him, no, keep it, it's fine, you don't have to pay me. Then your zakat will be discharged, because when you gave it to him, you made intention of zakat. So we need to draw a distinction between the two. Our business people today, many a time when that person cannot pay for the goods or merchandise or the loan, they cannot repay it, they say, never mind, it's zakat. That zakat is not valid, because you had no intention of zakat when you were transacting the deal and making that deal. So, and the transaction. So we must understand that there's a difference between the two.
Mufti Saab, is it allowed to cut the hair and nails during haiz and nifas?
Let us first discuss the maximum amount of nifas. So remember, nifas is the postnatal. You, my sister, you gave birth, mashallah, happy day in your life. So what is the maximum period of postnatal, the bleeding, after giving birth? So the Hanbali scholars, Hanafi scholars say 40 days. But you go to the Shafi'is, Malikis, they say 60 days. Now we go with that to another hadith. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that we should not allow more than 40 days. 40 days is maximum. That a person, male or female, does not clip their nails, does not remove the unwanted hair, the armpits and the pubic hair and so forth. If more than 40 days pass, then remember, it's sinful. That you see today, the non-Muslims and some Muslims, they keep long, long nails. That is satanic in Islam. And people got one big bush going on, you know, and they don't shave the hair, they don't remove it and so forth. So it's not permissible. So 40 days is the maximum there. So in a case like that, so if you, the lady in nifas or haiz and so forth, you clip your nails, cut your hair and so forth, so yes, it is permissible. That is the fatwa. But Hanafi ulama said is makruh tanzihi, meaning is better to abstain and refrain. And once you have become clean, because now 40 days is maximum, so you took your ghusl and your compulsory obligatory bath, and then that same day then you cut your nails, remove unwanted hair, so all that would be fine. But remember that according to majority scholars, totally permissible, no problem with it.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, can one use interest money to fix potholes in the community? And we have many on our roads here, Mufti Saab.
Yes, 100% is increasing, because the politicians now, I believe the budget is going to come, and I was just reading some newspapers there in Cape Town and so forth. I see they're speaking about increasing the VAT from 15% to 16%. I told you, this is a cursed system, the capitalism. In capitalism, you must remember, the rich will get richer because they hold a monopoly. The poor will get poorer and poorer. And the politicians will get fatter and fatter, the fat cats. They will tell us to tighten our belts, but they're getting fat and fat, more and more holidays, more and more perks. You want to fix up the problem of the country, you should cut your wages by 50%. Then everything will be lungile. We will be 100% with the electricity. We will be 100% with our roads and so forth. How many tires are getting damaged? How many accidents are caused? I go to my sister and my niece and them, Pumalanga. So when you read Pumalanga, the number plate, Hafizab, I don't know if you know, it's called MP. Yeah. MP, there means Makulu pothole. So many potholes, you can't believe. You know, when we were young, we used to play dodgem cars. So you go right and left and mix up and all. What a disgrace it is. Yeah, lane, same thing. So you must, an absolute indictment upon the government as well. So yes, for the welfare of people, Muslim, non-Muslim, you got interest money, 1,000, 10,000, interest is haram, but you want to do something for the benefit of the entire community, that you say, let's use the interest money for potholes. You see that, I think it's harassment I read about. They got fed up, the people. They say, we're protesting, we're striking, we, government is doing nothing. Come, let's roll up our sleeves and we will do for the benefit of people. So you, that's what you need to do. So use your interest money, get your roads, get your streets, everything fixed up. Very good. The shortage, porosity of water, you take your interest money and you get boreholes, you get wells and all that. People have access to clean water. Excellent. So Islam wants, we must empower people and humanity, not only Muslims. So take that interest money and use it for these type of things.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Next question or next message on the screen is absolutely very, very disturbing, Mufti Saab. This father-in-law speaks very, very rudely to his daughter-in-law. He has already violated her unexpectedly, physical contact and so on. Is her nikah still valid with her husband, Mufti Saab?
We're not sure of the circumstances. You know that these type of issues is always a one-side story. Now, I'm just giving you worst-case scenario. There was no one at home, and the father-in-law was there, and he's 50, 60 years old. He's old but not cold, and the daughter-in-law is there, and maybe she has a child, one, two children, or no children. She's 18, 20, 24 years old. He went there by force. He kissed her and he, you know, touched her, fondled breast, whatever, all these things he did. So what happens now? Is her nikah to that uncle, that father-in-law, if you want to call him the shaitan, so to his son, is that nikah valid or not valid? The nikah is valid. Remember, according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, but that shaitan, you must expose him now. You got social media and say this is, but it must be based on facts, not based on fiction and lies and propaganda. Say that this is what the shaitan did, you must remember, and people should be aware, and you must tell your husband, we have to move out from here. Therefore, people think many a time I talk nonsense, you know, when I say, in this day and this age, I always reiterate that, in this day and this age, if people ask me, I say, best is 90%, 80% of the time, your daughter is getting married, make this condition from day one, you want separate house. Islamically, she's entitled to that. Because we have so many terrible things going on. Father-in-law, brother-in-law want to take advantage of your daughter, somebody else's wife. Imagine all these things happening. Now this shaitan, father-in-law. So from the fatwa point of view, according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, remember the nikah is valid. Why is valid? An-ni'matu la tanalu bil mahzur. They got married, and the marriage is valid, there's no problem. So you can't go and nullify the marriage because of haram activity. So therefore they say, but that father-in-law must be punished, that father-in-law must be exposed, and so forth. When you come to the Hanafi school, so Hanafis use another principle, which they call Hurmatul Musahara. And now when that father-in-law, he was now, you know, a horny father-in-law, a smoking Joe. So he smokes and he all that. Now he wants to take advantage of the daughter-in-law. And for real, according to the question, he did that. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Then according to Hanafis only, that nikah of that lady to her husband is broken, and la yajtami'ani abada, now they can never reconcile in future. Therefore, we say you must be so circumspect and careful, because today people see things on their phone, on their, you know, this chat site, that chat site, the porn sites, and they go to the movies, the TV, and what have you, all these satanic things, they get hot, and now they don't know what to do. Now the daughter-in-law is alone, and he takes advantage. So remember, according to Hanafis only, the consequences are so serious that her nikah to her husband is finished now forever. But that shaitan must definitely be punished, and he must be exposed as well.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, pertaining to fasting, and I see many questions are coming in pertaining to fasting, can one take a blood test whilst in the state of fasting?
Yes, 100%, you take a blood test, it's fine, there's no problem. Remember this law, 99% of the time it will work, that when it comes to fasting, that things enter our body, we eat, we drink, and so forth, so that will nullify the medication, so forth, so that will break the fast, and so forth. But things coming out of our body, so we must remember that will not break the fast in most cases. We don't say 100%, but in most cases. So, for example, I give you 2-3 examples. That now you go for a blood test, so the blood comes out. Your huzu will break according to Hanafis when it's flowing. Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, the huzu also doesn't break. But remember, your huzu will break, but your fast, according to everybody, is still valid. There's no problem with that. You're going for sugar test and this test and so forth, so your fast, your rosa, your som, your siam is still valid. So that's number one. Number two, the lady. You are fasting, and whilst fasting, you are breastfeeding. So that breastfeeding, that action of breastfeeding does not nullify, does not break your fast. Your fast is still valid. So remember that. So the, like that you give examples. So people, so we spit, we saliva comes out, so the fast is still valid. So all these type of things here, we will say, ijma'an, there's consensus on it. But if certain things go in injections, so remember, so that will also be valid. Whether you take it on your arm or at the back, on the buttocks, so your fast will still be valid. There's no problem with it.
Mufti Saab, what dua can a person read for a good memory, especially if it's someone that is becoming Hafiz al-Quran?
MashaAllah, that I told one youngster day in Cape Town, I said that you must become Hafiz. He told me, no, I got very weak memory. So why you start so negative? When we start basing things on our ability, capability, then things will go wrong. So say, yes, I will do the following three things. What are the three things? First one, we start. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda came to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I learn, I forget. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told and informed his son-in-law, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, on the night of Jumu'ah, what we call in English Thursday night, after Maghrib, after Isha. So anytime that's convenient, suitable for you, so you use your leisure time for the pleasure of Allah, you read four rakat salat, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Surah Fatiha, first rakat, and Surah Yasin, chapter 36. Thereafter, second rakat, you read Surah Fatiha and Surah Dukhan, chapter 44. There, and the 25th Supara. Thereafter, third rakat, Surah Fatiha, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. So, chapter 32 of the Noble Quran. So, in this sequence, Nabi alayhi salam said. And fourth one, you read Surah Fatiha and Surah Mulk Tabarak Alladhi, chapter 67. So, it shows that that is what you need to do Thursday nights, later to Jumu'ah. And you don't know it by heart, then look inside the Quran Sharif. And after you finish all four surahs, then read two rakat salat and beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Ya Allah, give me a powerful retentive memory. So Allah will bless you with that. Number one. Number two, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُؤُوهُ بِهَا. Chapter 7, verse 180. Allah Jalla Wala has wonderful, beautiful names. Invoke and say and call Almighty Allah what is beautiful names. Ya Qawiyu, Ya Qawiyu, Ya Qawi. Our Honorable Ustad, Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia, Hafizullah, when I finished Hifz also, I was not baligh. You know, I was not mature. For 1-2 years, I couldn't perform Tarawih also. So when we were becoming Hafiz, he used to tell us, read Ya Qawiyu, Ya Qawiyu. So we masum children, innocent, so we used to read. You know, sometimes we read, sometimes we forget. But read it, and Allah Jalla Wala will bless you with the great powerful memory. It's the name of Almighty Allah. Third one. Imam Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahullah went to his teacher Waqi bin Jarrah. And what he said. If you want a reference of this, open Diwan al-Shafi'i, you will find it there. Shakautu ila Waqi in su'a hifzi. I went to my beloved teacher, Waqi bin Jarrah. O Ustadji, O beloved teacher, my memory is failing me. Fa'arshadani ila tarkil ma'asi. He told me, stay away from vices and sins. Wa nurullahi la yuta fa innal ilma nurum min ilahi. Because this knowledge of Quran and Sunnah and Fiqh and so forth, these are the radiance, the effulgence of Almighty Allah. Fa innal ilma nurum min ilahi wa nurullahi la yuta li asi. And this radiance, effulgence, this knowledge of Allah is not given to people who continue with vices and sin. And let me make one thing very clear. All this TV and all that is a bigger shaitan. You want to become a Hafiz? You want to become Hafiz of Quran, Hafiz of Hadith, Hafiz of Fiqh? Get rid of all this TV and all this nonsense. Other day I went to a masjid in Cape Town and asked, what this TV is doing here? I said, no, we can focus more. So I said, on what you going to focus? The lady is going to see that actor there acting. So Quran says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men they must lower their gazes. You don't look at the opposite gender, the women and women. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. You go against Quran and say focusing on shaitan, that is. So understand, these are all satanic things that people will focus and so forth. So all these things, you get rid of it, and then Allah will bless you with a great, powerful, retentive memory.
I mean, Mufti Saab, what is the benefit to recite Ya Wahhabu and Ya Basitu 111 times daily?
To read it is excellent. Surah chapter 7, verse 180, I mentioned to you just now. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has wonderful, beautiful names. Invoke and call Almighty Allah by those names. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whosoever reads it, memorizes it, you enter Jannah and Paradise. However, we have to now rectify the question. Read it 111 times, read it 313 times, read it so 500 times. All that is not authentic. People wrote books on Asma'ul Husna and the 99 names of Allah. Read this 100 times, 150 times, 111 times. None of that is authentic. It's all man-made things. Man-made things you put one side. So you read as much as possible. Allah ke yaha ginti nahi, Allah ke yaha wazan hai. Liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. Almighty Allah gave you life and death to see and put you through a test that whose actions will be the best. The criteria in Islam is the quality and not the quantity. Islam looks at quality. So when you're reading Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhab, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam reconstructed Masjid al-Aqsa, hadith in Sunan Nasai, he begged Almighty Allah three things. I don't want to go into that, I'll just give you one. One dua he made enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 38, verse 35. Rabbi habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Innaka antal wahhab. Oh Allah Jalla wa'ala, you grant me such a magnificent kingdom. It will not be given to any person after me. Verily you are the best one to grant it, Ya Allah, to give it to me. You're the best of givers. So read it one time, three times, but read with sincerity, with love, and Allah will give you from his unlimited treasures. Leave this 111 and all these things, all stories that gabshap, you know, in Urdu we say, it's got no basis in Islam. Read from your heart. Quality is the criteria and not quantity. Second one, that ya basitu, you want to read. Inna rabbaka yabsutur rizqa liman yasha. Almighty Allah increases the risk for whosoever he wishes. Ya basitu, ya basitu, ya basit. So read every day. I give you one nuskha. I give you one of our secrets of life. Daily read two rakats, another two rakats. Now, I just give you an example. 12 o'clock, quarter past 12, Zuhur time will start. So 11 o'clock, half past 11, you read. So you read four rakats salat. The hadith is mentioned by Imam Malik. فَكَأَنَّمَا قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ. When you read that four rakats, just before istiwa ushams, before the sun reaches its zenith, so what our people call Zawal, actually the term is incorrect, but we'll just use it because people, they don't understand. The proper term is Istiwa, the zenith. So before that, you read this two and two, and then you get reward as though as that you are remaking Ibadat on the night of majesty, the night of destiny, Laylatul Qadr. After that, read Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Basitu, Ya Basitu, and read Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah. Read all these names of Allah. That is not part of the hadith, this hadith here. So you must remember, when you do that, Allah opens for you so many things. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابِ, Allah will give us out of his unlimited treasures. Learn it, practice on it, propagate it, and see, inshallah, you also will be flying, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, for the next born baby, can one read four calls, Ayatul Kursi, various wazifas, and blow on a black string and tie it on the child's hand? Is this permissible?
All that is haram, that. All this black string story and all that got no place in Islam. Your child is not even born, but they got the black string there and all these things there. That is imitating the non-Muslim culture. So you must remember this black string story, you must take that string, cut it off and throw it away. That is what Sahaba used to do. So to say, you want to read the Quls, excellent. We got no problem. But you tell me about the black string, or you tell me about the red string. You see non-Muslims, they use all these things here. So no, it's got no basis in Islam, and you are making takhribul aqidah. You are corrupting the beliefs of people by doing these things and telling people to do that. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in the Quran Sharif. We believe in the Hadith Mubarak and Ahadith Mubarak of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We accept and love and will defend the honor of every Sahabi with our life. And remember, we believe in the Awliyaullah, and we follow the four schools. We don't follow fairy tales and superstition and all these things here. So there's no place for that black string and green string and all these things here in Islam. So you must remember the smoking jitta, you know. You asked the question about the imam who smokes. So I want to tell you, but then the time was up. That type of imam, they'll carry that string. You call that imam the smoking Joe, the stringing Joe. So they got no place in Islam for that.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question that we have is pertaining to pets, be it a parrot, be it a cat. Is euthanasia permissible for pets?
You're speaking of the cats, and you're speaking of the rats, and you're speaking about all these things here. The other day, a person sent me a nice clip. When you go to China, they eat the cats, and they eat the rats, and they eat the dogs, and they eat the snakes. So now the Chinese are inside the prison, and the cats and the rats and everything are running around. You say, humko to chutti mil gayi. At least we safe now, and these shaitans are inside. See divine justice. See what they are doing with the Uyghur Muslims. More than 2 million Muslims incarcerated, tortured, persecuted by the Chinese upper regime. Remember, Allah ki lati be awaze. Allah gave them such a punishment, the economy is going towards the doldrums. So that is Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So remember, Hafizab, that in Islam, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will always teach us justice. So yes, you ask me of euthanasia, so we say regarding animals, regarding pets, you got birds, you got this, you got that, you got the dog for security purposes, now he's ill, so euthanasia, mercy killing for animals permissible, for human beings not permissible. You can't take a lethal injection and just say, no, the father is sick, kill him, no, not permissible. So yes, you can remove the ventilator. So that is permissible, because to undergo, continue with the medication is not compulsory. That is something else. But deliberately you give the person poison injection to kill him, in human beings not permissible, in animals, birds, all that permissible.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. That brings us now to our final question before our final ad break. It says, I'm a second wife for 15 years. Now, Mufti Sahib, the first wife or her husband does not want her husband to have anything to do with the second wife. She wants that the husband must cut off all ties. Mufti Sahib, please advise.
That's exactly what I said just now. You must remember, if the husband is treating both wives equally, one night, 1 week, 1 week, the expenses, all these type of things. Obviously, if one got one child and the other got 4 or 5 children, the expenses will differ. But he is doing justice, then no wife has the right to say you must divorce or you must cut off the other one and so forth. Those wives who do that, hunnal munafiqat, you are a pakka munafiq and hypocrite, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But where the husband is doing injustice, then you can request a talaq, a divorce, or you go to the ulama-i rabbani, the ulama-i haq, the true ulama, and you apply for fasakh and annulment. You, sister, you woke up after 15 years. This husband of yours got that wife. Now you say he must sever ties with her, all that. So what? You want, he must treat that wife like a spare wheel? So how can that be justified? Totally incorrect that is. Your demands are totally haram and not permissible, provided that the husband is doing justice.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. This afternoon's Q&A program brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue off after the break, right until 5 to 4. In the last 5 minutes, it's going to be Mufti Sahib's Nasiha.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That brings us now to the final part of this afternoon's Q&A program, right until 5 to 4 this afternoon. Our very next question, Mufti Saab, is it true that when jewelry is given to a bride as mahar, it has to be 18 carats gold? Mufti Saab?
That's incorrect. Remember that whatever they agree on, whether it's 9 carat, whether it's 18 carat, whether it's 12 carat, whatever they want to, or they want to give carats also, it's fine, provided that she herself accepts it, you must remember. So in a case like that, mahar can be given in cash or in kind, and remember that nowadays, if you look at mahar e Fatimi, is $1,000 and 15,000 rand plus minus approximately, and if you look at the Hanafi minimum, then it is 300 rand South African currency minimum, 100 rand according to the Malikis. Shafi'is, Hanbalis have no minimum mahar. Mahar is the marital gift that the husband will give to his wife. And Allah forbid if the marriage turned out to be sour and, you know, talaq, divorce took place, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا, and you gave your wife millions, that is qintara, الْأَمْوَالُ الْكَثِيرًا, Surah 4, verses 20, 21, 22, فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, you cannot take back anything. It's haram for you to take back the jewelry from your wife or now your ex-wife, or remember the money or the clothing or what furniture, whatever you gave, it belongs to her. Mustafa rahmatulil alamin sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-a'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalbi ya'udu fi qay'ihi, the person who takes back the gift from the giftee, the recipient, and because of argument things turn sour, is like a dog. The dog vomits and then goes and licks the vomit. So that's what we are doing. So we need to be clear on these issues. Who is going to determine the amount and the quantity of the mahar? The lady you're going to marry, and her parents and so forth can suggest to her that you request this amount and so forth. We should not be crazy now and ask for $1 million and so forth. So obviously then nobody will get married to you. So you need to be practical.
JazakAllah khair. Mufti Saab, next question. It reads as follows. We went to a restaurant yesterday. We were told all meat is halal. We came and found out today that it was not halal. What do we do now?
This is a big problem, and I keep on warning you. Whether you're in South Africa, we've been to so many countries with the help and mercy of Allah. These halal logos, they're not worth the paper on which they are written. It's money-making gimmick, these things here. And the people will just tell you halal. You should make inquiry before you eat. And then you got doubt, then da'ama yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Now it means in your body it is haram. So now what we're going to do? So cry to Allah. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhta'na. Oh beloved Allah, do not take us to task and punish us if we did something forgetfully or inadvertently, unintentionally. Surah 2, chapter 2, verse 286. And ask Allah for forgiveness. Remember, when haram enters our body, whether it is solids or liquids, then we have inclination towards haram. You see the non-Muslims with their wine, dine and swine, then they commit zina, fornication, adultery, gay business. It becomes norm for them, normal. But a Muslim, when he eats and consumes halalan tayyiba, kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu saliha, then Allah will inspire you to do the good deeds, input, output, you see. Same thing, coronavirus, whatever you want to call. Input, shaitan, so output, shaitan also. So similarly, so when by mistake it happens, but you are to blame in this case here. Remember that you can't just ask any Tom, Dick and Harry, and you ask the shopkeepers and the restaurant, did their job. Since when he's going to become such a buzruk and tell you it's haram? So he'll tell you kullu halal. You go to the Arab country, they tell you kullu halal. But we know it's not halal. So you just have a vegetable or you have fish or something and you go. Because you must remember that you know the halal meat is not halal. And they got some halal logo. There's not worth the paper on which is written. So therefore, we need to be exercising great caution and we need to be circumspect in this regard.
Mufti Sabah, my next question is pertaining to Jummah Salah. This person missed out the first rakat of Jummah, and how does he now finish with his Salah? How does he make up?
It means you missed the entire Arabic khutbah, and you came for Salat, and whilst performing wudu, then the first rakat finish, and then you join the Imam in the second rakat. So when the Imam makes the salam both sides, you stand up and you will read one more rakat. But remember, it leaves a lot to be desired. Jummah time, you came so late. That's a pakka sign of a pakka munafiq. That's a sign of a true hypocrite, that you come so late that you miss the entire khutbah, the Arabic khutbah, and you miss one rakat of Jummah Salat. So my brothers, remember that for Jummah Salat and every Salat, we should be there on time. Not we come in, you see, Allah says in the Quran, who these munafiqeen, hypocrites, they come for salat. How they come for salat? وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَىٰ يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That they come for salat lazily. They're the last one in and the first one out. They just come to show their face and they remember Allah Ta'ala a little bit and then they disappear. So these are the signs of a munafiq and hypocrite. So imagine that a person dies with that nifaq and hypocrisy. There can be serious, serious consequences. Surah Nisa, chapter number 4 and verse number 142. So remember, my brother, you need to read these verses and just to jog our mind and our memories that we are Muslims. That job, that shop, that money means nothing when we're going to miss our Jummah Salat or we catch the last rakat, the second rakat. Remember, that's a pakka. Yes, you're a person who's ill or sick. You had an operation and then you came. And there's different example. There's a different circumstances that normally we know what happens. Every Friday I'm delivering lecture unless I'm in Makkah, Medina. So remember, we see majority of the crowd comes in when the khutbah is on or when the salat is starting. Wallahi, that's a sign of pakka munafiqeen and hypocrites.
Mufti Sab, this next message says, we are moving business premises and they have heard that to move on a Wednesday, it's good. What is the reason for this?
Remember that any time you want to do a good deed, that you do start on a Wednesday or you start on a Friday. Regarding Wednesday, there's a kitab written, Al-Maqasidul Hasana by Allama Sakhawi Rahimahullah. Open the ending of it, you will find there. People, students come, they say, we can't find it. I see you looking in the starting, you won't find. Go to the ending, you will find it there. Our Honorable Mother Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, always when you take her name, use the honorable title, Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved honorable wife of the Master alayhi salam, and any person hates her, curses her or her father, is a pakka kafir out of the fold of Islam. So anyway, Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha states, remember that you start, you get married on Wednesday, you start your job, you start your work on Wednesday, and Allah Jalla Wala will give you barakah and blessing. So that is why we say Wednesday. Start Friday, and if you want to know Hanafi fiqh, Allama Marghinani Rahimahullah, he wrote Hidayah, and one of the great works of the Hanafi school of jurisprudence, when he is to start his lessons the academic year, he is to start on a Wednesday. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahab Rahimahullah, he passed away in 1976. When he was principal and he was active, the madrasa used to always open on a Wednesday. The madrasa used to open on a Wednesday. So otherwise you start your action, your shop and job and all that on the Friday, and that is after Jummah Salat. So all that ulama have taken from Surah 62 verse 9, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. All this is no must about it. You move in any day is all fine. But we will say preferred and desirable is either a Wednesday or either a Friday.
Mufti Sahib, is it acceptable to accept a cash donation from a non-Muslim person for a Muslim old age home?
Muslim old age home, we must catch those people and give them a good hiding first. All these youngsters, sons and daughters who dumped their parents in old age home, we must catch you and give you 100 lashes in public. That is what you deserve. I visit so many old age homes, Cape Town, P.E., Durban, Joburg, yeah, there, wherever, different places. So you see, they crying and they cursing their children. Don't you have any fear? Don't you have any shame? Sometimes it's such prominent families, your parents are cursing you and you got no shame. You're going for Umrah, you're going for Hajj. Wallahi, that Umrah Hajj is all waste of time. When you don't have time for your parents, it means absolutely nothing. Did I say so? Allah says so. Surah 47, verses 22, 23. In tawallaytum, when you have authority, you have strength, you have money, you have influence. And tufsidu fil ard, then you cause mischief making on this earth. Wa tuqatti'u arhamakum, you sever ties with your parents. You go there one lousy Father's Day, Mother's Day, Eid's Day. Eid Day is not lousy day, it's a great day. But you did a lousy action. So you must say, and we got no Father's Day, Mother's Day in Islam. For us, every day is Father's Day, Mother's Day. So you go there and kali give one present. So Quran says, you son, you daughter, you grandchildren, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah's curse be upon you. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ, Allah makes them spiritually deaf. وَأَعْمَىٰ أَبْصَارَهُمْ, and Allah makes them spiritually blind. So أَعْمَىٰ أَبْصَارَهُمْ, spiritually blind. Chapter 47, verses 22-23. Hadith in Bayhaqi Mishkat Sharif. كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ إِنْ شَاءَ فَاءَنُهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ أَذَّبَهُ. You must remember that if it is regarding sins, then it's a prerogative of Allah. Either He forgives or either He punishes. إِلَّا أُقُوقَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, but disrespect, disobedience to our parents. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعَجِّلُ أُقُوبَتَهُ لِصَاحِبِهِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ قَبْلَ مُوتِ, Allah will definitely punish you in this world before death. I saw so many examples. So brothers, you need a good threshing. Let me be honest with this. And I myself will give you a threshing. So you must remember this. In Islam, we don't have old age home in this. You say, it's not my parents, it's my auntie. So your auntie is your mother's sister. Al-khala tu bi manzilatil um. So my khala, my masi, takes the place of my mother. This is my kaka, my chacha, my father's brother. Al-ammu sinwu abi. So your chacha, your kaka takes the place of your father. So that is Islam. So what good is there? We're giving zakat, yeah, giving charity, yeah, giving, yeah. But our own family, we dump them in the old age home. So you can't, never mind non-Muslim contributing. Muslim mustn't contribute. I speak openly against this. You must remember that it's haram in Islam to have old age homes where we dump our parents and seniors. This is a kafir and a kuffar concept. In China, they kill their own parents. Before this coronavirus also, they consider them a great liability. So that is what you are doing. Your father brought you up. They stayed awake for you. They gave you education. That university education degrees of yours, it took you to that satanic system that you dumped your parents in the old age home. You need a good threshing, you know that. That's what you need.
Moving on to the next question, Mufti Saab. A person was fighting, arguing with his wife over the phone. And after his wife cut the call, he pronounced 3 talaqs. She didn't hear it. She does not know anything about the talaq. Please comment on this, Mufti.
Yes, sir. Always they will tell you they gave talaq in anger. So my response to that is, who gives talaq while making love? Oh, honey. Oh, darling. The French kiss is very nice. The Paris kiss is even better. And oh, nobody gives talaq then. So you must remember that when you lose your temper, then you give 3 talaq, whether the wife heard, never heard, you uttered it, you wrote it, so the 3 talaqs are valid. And remember, that is the unanimous verdict of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. It is the verdict of the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, the Hanafis, all of them agree, 3 is 3. Those Salafis or whoever who want to promote Trinity, they want to say 3 is 1 or 1 is 3 and all that, we reject it totally, ka'in and mankan. Whoever it is, whichever organization it is, whichever mufti, grand mufti it is, we reject it totally. So remember, tell that lady she must sit in iddat, and the iddat will be 3 menses if she follows the Hanafi Hanbali school, and if she follows the Shafi'i Maliki, then remember it is 3 periods of cleanliness. They cannot They cannot remarry now. They cannot reconcile. All that is haram. The marriage is over. And remember, if they live together, because the husband says the wife didn't hear, you're living in sin. And every moment, Allah's curse is upon you.
Mufti Sahib, can you use coconut oil whilst in the state of ihram?
No. All these oils and all that, remember, they have fragrance and so forth, so you must abstain from it. Yes, you want to apply coconut oil, olive oil, this oil, that oil. So before you make your intention, so you took a bath, right? So you got to enter into the state of consecration, into the state of ihram. So in a case like that, remember, we use soap, we use shampoo, you want to use oil, all these type of things. So you want to put on your beard, you want to put on your head, you want to put on your body or whatever. So all that is fine. But you read your two rakat salat, the two rakat salat is not filled. You don't read, I don't read it normally. You understand? Sometimes we read, we don't read. So you don't have to worry about the two rakat salat. You make intention, and thereafter you make the intention, meaning, Allahumma inni uridul umrata fayassir hali wa taqabbala minni. Oh, beloved Allah, that I made intention for umrah, and make it easy and accept it. And now you read, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, now you are in ihram. Now the restrictions apply. So you can't be clipping nails, cutting hair, and you can't be using perfume and deodorants and this oil and that oil and all these type of things. So you must abstain from these things.
Mufti Saab, as we're coming more towards the last 5 minutes or so of the Q&A program, last few questions. Which is the best way to be on the straight path and get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Almighty Allah gave us the prescription, divine prescription. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. When I was in Medina Munawwara last week, it was so cold, Fajr time. I couldn't believe, you know. And the people of Medina told me, my friends, the week before that, 3 weeks before ago, it came to 5 degrees, 6, 7 degrees. So it's very cold there for Medina Munawwara. So anyway, when it's cold, we go nearer to the heater. We go nearer to the fireplace. And when it is hot, so we go nearer to the fan or the aircon. And you know it goes to 50 degrees, sometimes even more. So when we see in our normal life, we do that, either go to the warmth and heat or either go nearer to the coolness. So we want piety, we want goodness, so mingle, associate. O you who believe, fear Almighty Allah and associate, mingle with the Sadiqeen, with the pious, pious people, the truthful people, the upright people, that piety will rub off onto you. So therefore we say, go to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Ulama'i Rabbani, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith. Listen carefully, very good question. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of the biggest enemies of this ummah is ma min nabiyin illa wa qad anzara qawmahu anid dajjal. That every nabi came and informed his people and his nation and whoever about Dajjal. But I'm telling you more things about Dajjal compared to any other messenger and prophet, peace be upon them. But there's another enemy, and he's worse than Dajjal. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to Abu Dharr radiallahu an. And who are that? Al-A'immatul Mudillun. All A'immatul Mudillin. Both. So anyway, those ulama who sell the deen, those ulama who do haram, and they justify it, and they lead the people towards haram, they are worse than even Dajjal. So therefore, you must cut off with them. Just make salam and move away. Don't go to their lectures, don't go to this and all that. They are enemies of Islam, worse than Dajjal. Hadith is sahih, authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad. So what will we say today? So think properly. So therefore, you must be careful with whom you mingle. Say, no, I go with everybody, because me, I'm a freelancer. That is satanic thoughts, that. So we have to protect and preserve our iman, and not mingle and associate with the ulama esu, the evil ulama and people. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of all this. So therefore, ask Allah for protection. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil masihid dajjal. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from the fitna of Dajjal and the cronies. These are the imam mudillin. Make everything halal, you know. So these type of things we need to be very careful about.
Well, that brings us now to 15, 53 and 36 seconds. Mufti Saab, the final query. Which of the 99 names can one use for a cancer patient, Mufti Saab?
Read, Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu. What happens on Laylatul Qadr? Salamun hiya hatta matla al-fajr. So anyway, you must remember that you say, Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu. One name of Allah. As soon as we finish the Fajr Salat, what do we say? Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. So Allah, you are salam, and this peace, tranquility comes from you. So the person is suffering, say, Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu, Ya Salam. Give out charity. Hadith Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, Dawu mardakum bid. Da'u mardakum bisadaqah. Give out charity on behalf of the people who are ill and sick. So all these things we can do, and we should do it. So read, O sick person, Allah give shifa. Ya Salamu, Ya Salam. Read, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. Allah Jalla wa Ala give shifa. Allah mashfi mardana wa madal muslimin. I think I think now.
Jay Mufti Sam.
Barakallahu feek, Jazakallahu khair, Afzab. Okay, before I start with the nasiha, let me give you the rundown what's going to happen after 4 o'clock. So, inshallah, then at 4 o'clock, we go to my brother Hafiz Yusuf Kala with his golden voice, and he will take us to Madina Munawwara. Speaking of Madina Munawwara, now all the entire masjid is green now. So, remember, they're changing all the red musallas. Half of it was done when I was there last week. I left last week Sunday morning, got up at 7, Nashta. So till then half the masjid was done, and now maybe the whole masjid is done, or three quarter. So green musallas right through. And how will you know Riyazul Jannah? So remember, you look at the white pillars, and there the musallas are light green. So that's how you draw distinction. So we'll join Hafiz Yusuf Kala, then the Asr Adhan, and thereafter importance of Islamic upbringing, Maulana Muhammad Venker, and thereafter at 4:30 will be Sheikh Salah Budair, wonderful Imam of Masjid Nabawi, golden voice. Thereafter at 5 o'clock will be that Sheikh Ahmad Didat Rahimahullah, there to address the Christians and so forth, explain to them what is a masjid, a mosque and so forth. And thereafter we got surahs and from the Quran, and then at around 20 to 7, and that is at 4 to 7 or so, Durban time, Maghrib, the Adhan will go, and thereafter Zikr. Then at 7 o'clock, how to attain the Noor and the radiance and increase it, so the love of Almighty Allah, Hazrat Mohan Yunus Patel Rahimahullah. Then at 8 o'clock, wonderful, Ilm-e-Din ki Fazilat, Hazrat Mawlana Ihtishamul Akhtanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. 9 o'clock, Isha Adhan, and thereafter, the Fakir and the Shaitan. So this is the pious person and the Shaitan, Mufti Abdul Rahman bin Yusuf Mangera from UK. And then at 10 o'clock, Deen in Focus, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 11 o'clock, Ma'Allah in the mercy of Allah, Sheikh Zakaria. My advices to you now, we are coming nearer and nearer to the month of Rajab. Tomorrow night we will scan the sky. Inshallah al-Aziz, we will see the new moon and crescent. Then it's 2 months left for Ramadan. So when the moon is sighted, confirmation is received, we read, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa balighna Ramadan. O Muslim, O Muslimah, you are not Hafiz, so then you should please Nabi alayhi salatu salam even more. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi sallam said, Lawaditu, it is my ardent strong desire, annaha fi qalbi kulli insanin min ummati, that every one of my ummah, male, female, adult and child, should by heart and memorize Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin, chapter 36, 83 verses. So every day you learn 3-4 verses, before Ramadan you'll be Hafiz. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be so pleased. My ummah ummati by a hearted Surah Yasin. Second hadith, hadith of Yasin in Musnad al-Bazzar. Open Tafsir Ibn Kathir, the same words are used. Lawadittu anna fi qalbi kulli insanin min ummati for Surah Mulk, chapter 67, and that is 30 ayats. Learn every day one ayat, one verse, and then you hafiz. Tomorrow you pass away, you by hearted Surah Yasin, you by hearted Surah Yasin, Surah Mulk, inshallah, on a day of justice, you will be resurrected with the hufaz and those people who are hafiz. So fasting is a duty and tilawatul Quran is the beauty. Second one, those of us from the time we became baligh and mature, so we must 10 fast, 20 fast, 50 fast, you ladies, 1 year pregnant, 1 year breastfeeding, 1 year this, you and your husband very active every year, second year new model, so start your qada fast. Leave all the sunnat fast, leave all the nafil fast, so the qada fast is compulsory. Sunnah fast, nafil fast is not compulsory. This is for male and female. So everyone use the maximum amount from the time we became baligh and mature till now. Remember that so many fasts we have missed for whatever reason. So qada is compulsory. May Almighty Allah make us of those. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, spare us for the Mubarak blessed month of Ramadan. Barakallahu feekum hafiz wadi. Jazakallahu khairan to my engineers, brother Lucky and brother Dawood Monley and brother Yusuf Asmal and the entire team. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Saab, as well as to our very esteemed listeners locally, nationally, and internationally. Until next time, we say fi amani lam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
جس دل میں پیار مدینے والے کا ہر سوئے اظہار مدینے والے کا نورانی دربار مدینے والے کا مجھ کو ہوگا ناز جب یہ لوگ کہیں یہ منگتا ہی سرکار مدینے والے کا مجھ کو ہوگا ناز جب یہ لوگ کہیں یہ منگتا ہی سرکار مدینے والے کا لے کے چلو اب مجھ کو